Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi and welcome to Doctor's Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today's Friday, December the 13th, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's an awesome day to be here in South Florida. It's a little cloudy, probably about 78 degrees out there. I understand our friends in the far north are probably a little on the chilly side, and we just send you warmth, warmth in our hearts and warmth in your bodies. It's a gorgeous day here. It's nice to be back in the U.S., although our joint journey to Costa Rica was absolutely awesome. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little later in the show and an announcement related to Costa Rica. And other than that, for those who are new to our show, we are here to share the first century Aramaic idea of forgiveness. We're here to do the exact opposite of what our culture teaches. We're actually going to suggest to you that you never, ever forgive anyone ever again for anything. We're going to suggest to you that you never, ever forgive yourself again for anything, because both of those tasks are impossible, because forgiveness has nothing to do with them. It has nothing to do with letting yourself off the hook for anything that you've ever done. Forgiveness, as it was originally taught on planet Earth, is a tool with which you bypass the system of denial that you have been trained in all your life. We've all been trained in it. It's our culture. Our culture teaches us in denial, and as it teaches us denial, we buy into a whole belief system that, of course, the problems we're facing are all caused from the outside of us. We've got it all pretty well together. And my offering is, if your physiology is capable of producing any form of pain or turmoil or trauma in thought, in your physical cellular structure, in your emotional structure, then you have a problem and you probably don't know it. You think that the problem is your spouse. You think the problem is your child. You think the problem is your parent. Oh, you say the words, I know I've got stuff to deal with, I know this is mine, but you should have seen what they did. Well, I saw what they did, and you know what? It's got nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that you are in pain or turmoil. The reason you're in any form of pain or turmoil is because inside you there are realities of pain and turmoil. First century Aramaic forgiveness is the technology with which you go inside yourself and you literally remove the very capacity for any form of pain or turmoil. is the technology with which you go inside yourself and find the root of your generational rage and guilt and fear and sadness and terror and trauma and every disease that's ever appeared in your bloodline. You find the root of it and you remove that energy from your structure and from your system. That's forgiveness. The Greeks have taught us, you know, you did something really terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay. I'll forgive you. My offering to you is that's a fraud. That's a lie. There's nobody that needs forgiveness. There might be people that it's reasonable and appropriate to let off the hook, but properly titled, that's called pardoning. And when I pardon someone, that's a really nice thing to do. But if I call the pardoning of someone, myself or another, forgiveness, then thinking I've forgiven, I won't go and do the next step, which is my work. We've been conned. The religions have taught us a fraud. It's not about letting anybody off the hook. It's about finding what you haven't dealt with, what your generations haven't dealt with, what your bloodline hasn't dealt with, and removing those things. And we're getting ready for an explosion on planet Earth of the understanding and the energy of forgiveness. We're getting ready for critical mass to occur. It's time for us as human beings to wake up and to be restored to human life, for human life to really, truly show up in the physiology of every mind, heart, and being on the planet. Well, Michael, what does that mean? I just look. My neighbor's human. Are you sure that your neighbor's human? Well, I looked in the mirror. I'm human. Are you sure you're human? Let's define a human being. Hold a newborn baby. Tap into the essence of that newborn. That's human life. If you're not living with that 24/7, 365, in the presence of your spouse, in the presence of your father, in the presence of your mother, in the presence of your child, in the presence of your employer, your government, your global insanity, if you're not living as love in the presence of Monsanto, guess what? You've got work to do. It's time for us to wake up. It's time to be restored to human life. You don't become restored to human life by letting other people off the hook because you don't have one. You become restored to human life by forgiving everything in you that takes you out of your human life. Your own guilt, your own sadness, your own fear, your rage, your hatred, your vengeance. And don't play the game with me. You don't have any of that. Oh, I've already got that handled because that's a fraud. We've all got work to do. It's time for us to move through this process of forgiveness. So that's what we're here to support you, and that's what we're here to learn ourselves. And, you know, I've been doing this work for about 45 years, and I'm still learning it. Still learning it on new levels, still getting there. So come and play, and people say, well, Michael, if you haven't got it handled already, then, you know, obviously it doesn't work. Well, you know, when you recognize the task is to clean up 1,000 generations of insanity. I use an example of, you know, I don't care whether you've got an IBM or a Mac computer. How many hours have you spent to learn to use your Mac or your IBM to become as proficient as you are? Did you know how to even turn it on the first time you sat down at the thing? How did you learn to open emails? How did you learn to open your word processor? How did you learn how to capitalize something? How did you learn how to bold something? How did you learn how to change the text size? How many hours have you spent to learn to use that simple device? And believe me, I don't care how big your computer system is. It is child's play and simple compared to using a human operating system. And if your computer showed up with a computer virus, cancel the thought, or, you know, some kind of an error message in it, with all your proficiency, all the thousands of hours you spent learning how to use your computer, how many hours might you end up spending? I don't care, even if you're top-level tech, how many hours might you end up spending to get rid of that virus, to get that error message decoded and repaired? You and I know that it might be dozens of hours. It's interesting. A simple operating system developed over a period of maybe 60, 70 years, by genius minds, and we think nothing of spending thousands of hours learning how to use it and dozens of hours repairing it when it goes bad. But we want to solve this human operating system that's been in development for thousands of years with input, you know, the computer game, I mean, geniuses. The input to your human operating system, to my human operating system, has been by some of the worst dummies, some of the most rageful, hateful, murderous beings that ever existed on planet Earth. And, you know, if you think yours doesn't stink, think again, because when you look back in your history, you got it in there. We all do. Cleaning it up is not an easy task. There's a man named Yashu who lived 2,000 years ago who invited us to go in and clean it up and to live differently, to truly live as the awesome active presence of love that we are designed to be. And what did they make it into? A belief system about a fearsome God that's going to come get us. And the work has been devoid. It's time for each of us to step in and do the work. Yeah, cleaning up 1,000 generations of hate and fear and guilt and grief and rage is no easy task, and that's what this man calls us to. Are you willing to be called to that task? That's what we're here to support you in. We've chosen to be called to that task. Sometimes it takes people years of hearing it and being around the work to really start to comprehend that and be called to that task. We're here to call you to that task. We're delighted that you're here with us. We appreciate and we're honored that you're taking your time to spend it with us. I know your time is valuable. So that's what we're here to do. And Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us today?
We do have Dr. Tim with us, and we also have Nanae with us.
Well, let's say hello to the young man and see how he be. And then we'll get to say hi to Nanae.
I'm doing beautifully, thank you. It's a sunny, cold, snowy day here in the upper Illinois area, and we're just delighted to be on the team and using the tools and sharing with somebody else yet again this morning some of the refinements of the worksheet process and how important it is to choose the right goal so that it actually functions as the key way when you cancel it to the part of your mind that's creating your pain, and just flowing along.
Awesome. Well, it is fabulous to have you on the team. We've already spent a couple hours on the phone this morning. For those who may not be aware of it, there's a team of people in Chicago that are working on creating a venue to bring this work at another level to the business community. So that's pretty cool. And so Dr. Tim and I got to spend some time on the phone together with that team this morning, and Jeannie. So that was pretty awesome. And we just wowed and amazed and delighted to have you working with us and taking this forward. You know, I think this is a task that has been tried many times by many, many, many people to change the game on planet Earth from one of hate and rage and hostility and fear to one, well, I don't think it's been well defined, but to one where we actually function based in love, that our minds, our bodies, our hearts are open to the experience of this awesome presence of love that we are, to that newborn energy that we all started out as when we came into a world that brainwashed us to go in another direction. So thank you for being with us. Are there any themes today, anything to share in particular?
Well, that was the big theme in two different sessions this morning, the idea of clarifying the goal and how powerful it was for people who had already done a worksheet and gotten frustrated that it hadn't produced too much. And each time we looked at what they had done with the worksheet process, we discovered that if they lined up a goal that was more in line with their thoughts and the emotions that they were creating with their thoughts, they got much, much better results. And actually got introduced to a whole different part of their mind when they finally canceled that goal. It was the key way to hiding from them the part of their mind that was holding the pain.
Well, that's a great thing for us to kind of reinforce and talk about a little bit. So thanks for bringing that one up and recognizing the fact that, you know, the thing that you trigger as you say that is the recollection of the Harvard research, and you came up with some other details, but in essence, The research from Harvard says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, there's a maximum of 9 bits of information potentially available, and that it is our goals. And of course, the actual number isn't really relevant. It doesn't matter when you got 9 bits out of 10,000 or whether it's 11 bits or 77 bits or 2,000 bits. It's not much. And that we're always refining our perception by the goals that we hold, and that the thing that determines which information our mind uses to build our reality is literally our goals. And that's why those goals are the keyway into those hidden parts of the mind, and that when one knows what to do with their goals, that's the key to healing. That's really where it all lies, and that's where the forgiveness process resides. So thank you for bringing that one up. And for those who haven't yet touched into the forgiveness process, we invite you to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And at whyagain.org, you'll see a link up in the upper left-hand corner. There's also a bullseye you can kind of click on, but the link will take you to a whole series of worksheets, or pardon me, of links that will take you into the Forgiveness Reality Management Worksheet process. There are instructions there for how to use it. There are 6 different radio shows that will walk you through the whole process. So we invite you to go to that website. There are 6 radio shows where we've actually walked someone through the whole forgiveness process, and we invite you to go to the website and download those radio shows and actually start to work on utilizing the Aramaic technology of forgiveness. Not an easy process at first. A lot of people don't hang around long enough. They heard it once, so they think they've got it. But there's so much in our minds that goes against us understanding the actual technology of forgiveness that you have to hang around a while. You know, the people who hang around for 20 years get it on a level where they never could have imagined it, hanging around it for a year. The people who hang around the work for 2 weeks and go, oh, I got it, now I'm finished. And, of course, if someone says, you know, I'll have people say, you know, well, you know, I hear you doing that workshop again on Sunday, which we are here in Boca Raton, if you're in this area, free open workshop. I hear you doing that workshop on forgiveness on Sunday, Michael, but, you know, I've already forgiven everybody, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my kids, my parents, you know. I've forgiven everybody, my former spouse, my present spouse. I've even forgiven my future spouses. So I don't need to go to that workshop. And my offering to that person is, okay, now that we've established that you've done no forgiveness work, they go, what do you mean? I've done all kinds of, I forgave him, I forgave them, I forgave them, I forgave them. It's like, okay. So now we know you've done a huge amount of pardoning work, pseudo-forgiveness. So now are you ready to actually engage in the forgiveness work? That is, are you ready, instead of letting other people off the hook, to go inside yourself and remove what never belonged? That's what that worksheet will show you how to do. And the core and the essence of the process has to do with your goals and what you do with them. So that's what that's all about. We invite you to go ahead and download those worksheets, put them to work in your life, and watch what happens. And stick around long enough. You know, I think that most people get a comprehension of this work. I mean, really start to comprehend it at about the 5 to 6 year point. At 10 years, it's starting to really kick in. At 15, it's like, now I'm understanding it. 25, it's seriously comprehended. 30 years, you really start to do your work. And most people say, well, wait a minute, Michael, why would I bother to do that? Well, you know, if a human life is worth having, is it worth stepping into being an eternal human being? Then that's what it takes. And that's what we're here to invite you into. There are lots of people out there who want to make their whole story simple. Well, all you have to do is say these magic words or do that. All you have to do. We're not going to lie to you. It takes work. It takes time. You have to hang out with it. You have to do your work. Does that fit for you, Dr. Tim? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, and that's why I recently had a minister at a Unity church ask me, so why do you think the church isn't full? And I said, well, basically because you ask people to do their own work here. And it's not just a party. It has far better, longer-lasting positive results than a party, but it isn't just escaping and singing and joyfully playing. It's looking at what I'm carrying around in me that's less than love and having the willingness to actually pick up the tools and remove it, taking full responsibility for it being there in my energy system and being willing to remove it. And as you said, it's not always Dr. Feelgood in the process. The end result is, beyond words, positive.
Well, as Rex shared with us on the show today, or pardon me, in the conversation this morning, and he shared some of that in the show yesterday, you know, he's been doing this work for over 30 years. I'm so delighted that he and Mitzi are doing their first workshop together. That's so cool. They've been doing this work for over 30 years, each in their own venue, in their own way, and they're doing a workshop together. That's really just so cool. And as he's gone into the prison, starting to confront things, I mean, this is a heavy-duty prison. I own you, Michigan. If you do some research, the facility goes back to the Civil War. They've got the most violent prisoners of the whole state of Michigan all located in that facility. And, you know, there's a stabbing every other week, attacks on guards. And as he goes in and finds that he's got work to do and that the challenges, the opportunities to learn forgiveness don't always come from just the guards, but there are other people who can trigger. And of course, when you start to open the space for people to do their work, it brings up things that sometimes turn back on you. I'm sure you've never experienced that, Dr. Tim, but I know I have once or twice.
Well, I've had it probably 4 times in the past 6 weeks.
I hear you. And, of course, we call that playing John the Baptist. And you look at that story you called about John the Baptist, and you look at the deeper meaning of everything that's there. And what you hear is, you know, this guy named John is described as the forerunner of the Christ. And let's let go of the religious connotation and language and just look at the practical aspect of it, the practical application. The word Christ means the anointed one, the buttered one, literally, because the anointed spiritually awakened masters with oil. And, you know, Paul says, be of like mind with Christ. What mind did Christ think with? But the mind of love. So he's the forerunner. He's the one who comes first. And what did they call John? He's the raving maniac in the desert. What does that mean? You're going to have to meet somebody who's going to bring up your raving. That's what Rex just experienced in the prison. That's what you experience in your practice. That's what I've been working on for decades. And so the desert is a code word for the unconscious. The raving maniac is, you're going to have to meet the person who can show you the deepest ravings, the deepest insanity of your mind. And when they do, you're going to want to take off their head. You know, John the Baptist, literally, if you remember, he delivered information to the king and queen didn't want to hear. Nobody wants to hear that they have a problem. Everybody wants to hear how it's everybody else's fault. And when you deliver truth to those who live in blockage of truth, you deliver truth to those who are in denial, their stress comes up, and most people's stress is hooked to getting rid of the source of the information that's stimulating or resonating what it is that they've been successfully hiding from themselves all their lives. If you are sick in body, in mind, in emotions, if you are sick in relationship, if you are sick in your finances, you've been hiding from yourself. It's time to take the feedback. You know, when they said to Yeshua, well, how do you tell where somebody's at? He says, you look at their fruit. What is your fruit? Your fruit is your body. Your fruit is your relationships. Your fruit is your finances. Your fruit is your physiology. It's your chemistry. It's your emotions. It's your mind. All of those things are the fruit. So what is John the Baptist's job? to bring up the deepest ravings that keep us out of living in the mind of Christ, out of living as the active presence of love. And when he delivered information to the king and queen that the king and queen didn't want to hear, what did they do? They took his head off. Two skills that each of us who chooses to do this work have to build. And that is, you got to know when to duck and when to hold the mirror up so that you can reflect back to people that the stress they're experiencing is internal to themselves. The denial system is so powerful, and the desire to be innocent victim is so deeply ingrained in our culture that it's huge, and it takes time to come to the point where we start to wake up to who we are and start to function as human beings. So that's what we're here to support, and we're glad that you're all with us. Any other thoughts before we say hello to Nene? I understand Nene is with us.
No, I'm looking forward to hearing from Nene and finding out what she's been up to these months that we haven't heard from her.
Well, let's say hello. Nene, how do you be, young lady?
Hello, my heart family. I'm doing great, thank you.
What's exciting in your world? What's been happening for you?
Yes, well, I continue doing my work, and I'm delighted to hear the show today. And in reference to the goals, I have experienced when I do a worksheet, sometimes in the goal, I doubt. But all of a sudden, I have like 3 or 4 or 5 goals, so I write them down. And what I do is then I choose in that worksheet, you know, like the strongest goal, and then I do other worksheets for the rest of the goals. And sometimes it happens that I'm just about to do the step where I cancel the goal, and another goal comes to my mind. Because I guess that's because it's been there for so ingrained, no, that it comes out finally. So, but for me, I love canceling goals because they do open that key to the possibility of forgiving, of deleting the energy.
Awesome. And let's see, you're getting ready to head into your third year of doing this work, right?
Yeah, January is going to be my third year. And each time I do it, and now it's becoming more natural for me. When I'm triggered, immediately I say, okay, what is that I wanted? But it has taken me all these years and all the worksheets and the lifestyle of doing it. It's like everything we do, Michael. If we go to exercise, you stop exercising for a month, your body's not the same. You stop eating healthy for 2 weeks, for 3 days, and your body's not the same. So the same thing here. The inner work, like you said before, you have to be willing to do it, and it's a lifestyle.
So then in the 2 years you've been doing the work, you've done what, 20, 30 worksheets?
No, I'm almost 2,600, almost, like 2,580-something.
2,580-something, wow.
Yeah, plus all the breathing, plus all the people that I breathe here and in Venezuela, plus, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and start canceling my goals and invoking Ruja. It's continuous. For me, it's a lifestyle.
So everybody that's listening,
yeah,
I just invite you to really hear what Nene just said and what it's taking to bring it to a new level. Oh, by the way, Nene, you do know that we're going to be in Boca on Sunday doing the Sunday service, and it's going to be kind of an unusual service. I don't think I've done this one in South Florida before, but it's the 5 Aramaic keys to life that Yeshua gives, and so I'd really invite you to join us at 10:30 on Sunday morning at CSL, and then from 1 to 5 we're going to be doing, of course, the free open, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and you'll see that I've probably learned some things since the last time you heard it just a few weeks ago.
Yes, I knew you were coming on Sunday. I have it in there in the calendar. I'm happy that you're giving the information again. Sure, yes. But
awesome.
I want to add that this support group is so good. You are, you know, listening to the show and Dr. Tim and Jeannie and everybody. And that it's, we have to restore continuously also the knowledge and listening. I also watch the DVDs, you know, because it, as you said, it's a new way to do things for us because we're so used to, you know, get the fast fix or the drugs or whatever to repress the pain instead of facing it and invoking the higher power plus all the process to forgive. But in my life, as I said, I don't know how I lived without these tools before.
I understand that one.
Yeah. Yes. So I would like to also, for it's Christmas time, you know, the light, and it's a moment to close those eyes and go in inside and look for that light which is there. And I love Christmas. And I'm very happy that my conversation with my daughter, it's better and better each day, and also with her father. And my daughter told me that he's feeling more serene ever since we've spoken on the phone. We have spoken maybe 3 times, and our conversation has been wonderful, like never before, not even when we were young, not when we were, married, nothing. It's now, after this forgiveness work, that I've been able to connect in a different way with everybody. And I'm just delighted.
Cool. Well, I'm delighted that you're on the team, and I think your work in Venezuela and in the Hispanic world is part of what's helping to open up what we're getting ready to share with the audience about our journey to Costa Rica and what's happening in the Spanish-speaking world. So we're pretty excited about what you've done there. But before we actually get into that, I'd like to just see if Michelle is with us. And if Michelle has anything to share.
I'm listening. Yeah, I'm listening and chatting with Ms. Pretty today. As far as the share, you know what I decided to do in preparation for Dale Allen Hoffman? I signed up I purchased a one-hour healing session, so I'm planning to Skype with him next Wednesday for an hour, and I'm kind of excited about that. That would be nice to sort of meet him pregame before the Fridays in January, which I think is really cool. Dr. Tim talks a lot about that, and so that's what's new with me.
Cool. Well, we'd invite anybody who's listening to the show, if you haven't heard the announcement, starting on Friday, the first Friday in January, which I'm not sure what the date is, but we're going to do for the month of January at least, Aramaic Fridays with Dale Allen Hoffman. And so that's a really good idea. If you want to tap into his website, it's daleallenhoffman.com. He's got DVDs and CDs available for purchase. I think he's got some stuff on his website for free download. And he's a young man that when he was 15 made his first journey to Heartland, started to do the work, kind of got away from it, and then when we reconnected again about, 4 or 5 years ago in Asheville, North Carolina, we kind of lost track of him, reminded him that his real purpose was Aramaic, and he's becoming known as one of the foremost Aramaic scholars on the planet. So it's pretty cool to have been involved in his world, and several times he's graced us with Aramaic Fridays. Another way to tap into what we'll be doing with that is to go back and look through the archives. We've probably done, I'm not sure, maybe 3 months of that, 3 different occasions where we've done a month of Aramaic Fridays. I'm hoping that one of these days we'll be able to get Dale to stay with it, with us doing that on an ongoing basis. But at least for the month of January, we've got a commitment to do Aramaic Fridays. And He's got a lot of work on his website. He's just doing some awesome stuff on the planet. We're here to support him, and, of course, he supports us and works with taking this forward. It's been fabulous to be involved. When I first met Dale, he was a long-haired musician in Tampa, Florida, and now he's touching the planet with the Aramaic understanding, first century understanding of the work. So it'll be fun to have him here. Certainly one of the ways to support him will be purchasing some of the products that he has on his website. And or that's a great idea to actually purchase a session from him. So that's pretty cool. And I want to acknowledge both you and Dr. Tim for all the dedication. I know what it's taken, having done this for 3 years now, every day at the preset time of 1 o'clock if you're in the Eastern time zone, being there and available and ready to do the radio show has been quite an interesting challenge, especially as we're traveling. And with the way we've been traveling for the last 2.5-3 months, you guys tapping in to handling the switchboard, both of you, and the show and the content and the inspiration that you've given people is just much appreciation, and it helps to open a space. Some of the things that are developing and opening, the stuff that happened in Sweden, Denmark, we couldn't have done that without you guys' support. We didn't actually get any workshops happening in Rome when we were there for a week or in Portugal, but we sowed the seed, the vibrations there, and then Costa Rica has been, we're about to tell you a little bit about that. But just such appreciation for the fact that we are not in this alone, that there are people who see the value of taking this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. You know, one of the things that I heard from a teacher years ago, and I don't remember who it was take on a project bigger than yourself. And certainly, making the commitment to deliver the Aramaic tool of forgiveness to every mind, heart, and being on the planet is a much bigger project than I could ever do. However, I have taken responsibility for facilitating and making it available to enough people who will, together, make it a possibility. And so you guys pitching in and helping to create the platform under us that helps us to take it to the next level is just an awesome gift, and thank you to both of you.
You're welcome, Michael. I know when you mentioned the thing about being on time at 1 o'clock, it's very unflexible, so to speak. I mean, you're there or you're not. And what I noticed over the couple months that I was participating in that way is I have developed better time management skills because of it. I struggle with that routinely, and I noticed some shifts positively because of the practice and the like, kind of the integrity required to be there every day at the one. And so it's sort of spilling over into other areas where I am more timely now. So it was a unexpected bonus.
Cool. And, you know, each time we do a work that's bigger than ourselves, you know, we tend to hide out in self. We're going to take care of self needs, self. We've become a very self-oriented culture in this Western world. And each time we hide out in that self, we tend to lock our true being out of awareness. So just by putting ourselves out there, whether we put ourselves out there with the work that we do with people, with the work that we do inside of ourselves, with where we put our time, intelligence, money, and energy, is all part of the process. And as I say, being this project being much bigger than I, you know, we're just these little people from Theodosia, Missouri, a little town in the Ozarks in southern Missouri with a little center that's nothing fancy and no money, no funding, no financing. We've just been moving the work forward in every way we can, and it's getting ready to pop on a new level with what's happening around the globe. And so I want to talk a little bit about our journey to Costa Rica. It was pretty amazing. The roads are atrocious. I mean, to the point of unbelievable. You're driving down, you know, Google Maps says go this way, and you're driving down a road that all of a sudden it's maybe 6 inches wider than the wheels on your car. And when you look off to the side as you're driving over that six-inch, you know, space of having to keep your wheel straight, there's a 25-foot drop-off just right there. And what's holding the road up are garbage bags and rubber tires. It's pretty interesting. And we did a workshop at the home of Victoris Kolvinskis. Those who might not know Victoris, he was one of the founders of Hippocrates Health Institute and wrote the book Survival into the 21st Century, which has kind of become a Bible for a lot of people. It's been around for, I don't even know when he first published it, probably 30 years ago. Now I can remember buying it in the bookstore. And now I've known Victoris for a couple decades. And so we were at his place, and he has this awesome space overlooking the Gulf of Nicoya, which is a place where the Atlantic Ocean comes into a gulf there that's just beautiful. We did a workshop in his home, which just looks right over the gulf, and it's just awesome, right in the jungle. However, the road to get there. Well, we drove for 3 hours, and finally the road ended in a river. It was about 4 feet deep, and we could tell it was 4 feet deep because of the car that tried to get across it and was being towed out because it got stuck. And then when we asked the locals, well, is there another road? How do we get to this town? We'd driven about 3 hours, and we were only maybe 10 miles from that town. And so we just go right down that road and just go across. That's what, go across what? The river. It's on the other side. It's like, no. You have a four-wheel drive that stands 4.5 feet out of the water. We have a Toyota. So we turned around and drove 3 hours back and had to drive the other way. And if you check, I don't know if Jeannie's put all the pictures on Facebook yet, but you might want to friend Jeannie if you're not. Jeanette Shaw, I think, is her Facebook name. And she took pictures of each of the creeks we had to drive through on the alternative route, 7 of them, to finally get to Victoris's place. Really cool, neat little town, and awesome food. Just fabulous. It's interesting to be in a country where you go into a regular grocery store and you look for something to snack on, and there's a bag of cookies. And you read the bag of cookies, and the label on the bag of cookies says, "The chemical companies are making fortunes from destroying our health. This was made with real food." And you read through, there's a whole paragraph on, it's like, and this is just a regular grocery store. This isn't even a health food store. A country that says we have sworn off, and I forget when it was, back in the 50s, 60s? We got rid of the military is illegal there. They still have a military budget, and they spent it on health care and educating children. How cool is that? Something that we really want to support in the world, that shift and that change happening. And, certainly not perfect. The people were sweet and awesome. And then the last place we stopped, we ended up, Jeannie loved it. We were sleeping in a tent in the jungle. And I'm being facetious there, but it was an introduction to an area that actually had paved roads all the way in, except for the last couple of miles, and was absolutely beautiful. And some of the projects that, we've been sort of holding in abeyance, I oftentimes compare myself to the person in the circus who spins the plates, and Jeannie and I kind of spin as many plates as we can to keep this work going and to uphold the possibility of it getting to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And as we were there, we saw the possibility, if we have a little, or I should probably say a lot of help from our friends, of taking this to a whole new level. We did find a facility that's actually an operating farm that supplies organic greens to most of what's called the Central Valley, and that facility is up for sale. And the fact that we now have in Heartland North, Missouri, a team that is taking over the management of the facility and the maintenance and all of that sort of thing, it gives us a space to take the work to a new level. And some of the things that we've been thinking about doing, I think that perhaps now, and we thank you, Nene, for your foray into the Spanish world more, and we're going to have to learn to speak Spanish. Maybe you can help us do that. But I think we may have in Costa Rica the key to critical mass. We may have the key to taking it to the next level. And I don't know whether Dr. Andraki and his wife Claudia are on the phone by any chance. You've heard Stephen Andraki on the show in previous times, who is a physician out in Pahrump, Nevada, that writes prescriptions to people to do worksheets and has a support group and works with these tools with everybody that he touches and is moving the work. But one of the things when we were out there last year that they suggested was that in the Spanish world there's a thing called a novella. And I wasn't familiar with that term, but apparently most of the Spanish world is addicted to novellas. And novellas are kind of like a soap opera, only they're short term. They're not something that, you know, The Days of Our Lives, if you watched it once 30 years ago and you tap it in today, you know exactly who's doing what to who because it's just the same story going on, the same drama and trauma. But the novellas are just short-term drama and trauma stories that keep people addicted to the adrenaline inside themselves of the things they haven't resolved and watching, you know, the conflict happen and all of that, which kind of functions as a drug. But what Dr. Andraki and Claudia had suggested was, what if you wrote the scripts based in this work in the novellas and showed healing? So in this facility that we looked at, there is an operating, a self-sustaining greens business that supplies, as I say, this whole Central Valley in Costa Rica with organic greens. The property is vacant except for, you know, in terms of the owners of the property are off somewhere in America and have left it for the last 4 or 5 years. But there is there are a family or two who are working the farm, and it's kind of self-sustaining. And so one of the things that's on the space is a house that is a perfect teaching center. Second story has about 1,600 square feet. And one of the, you know, for those who've been to Heartland, you might remember when you were at the teaching center and you looked up at these bars that were on the ceiling in front of the whiteboard and you said, what are those things for? And they were for lights to shine to be able to create videos. And so this farm has a perfect structure for a classroom and for doing full video production. It's enough space to have the video studio set up within that same space. And one of the things that really got this work going around the globe was back 30 years ago when I was really getting started. I'd been doing it for about 45, but really it was like taking it to a new level. Was I taught here in South Florida at two different facilities for a period of about 7 or 8 years, and basically I had three classes that went continuously ongoing every week. Everybody in town knew that they could come every Wednesday night to Unity in Fort Lauderdale and Thursday night to Unity in Del Rey and Thursday afternoon. And I had a private practice. I worked with people. But what really moved the work to a global level is South Florida is a place where a lot of people come from all over the world. And they would come to the classes and go back and say, we have nothing like this. Michael, would you come and teach here? And so that's kind of what happened 30 years ago and really got this work moving on the next level. And then, you know, realizing that in South Florida it's a rat race and only the rat wins, we bought the property in Missouri and started to do a facility there that created a space for people to come and ground themselves in the work and to learn it on another level. And so Heartland, you know, has a support team that's had hundreds of people go through it over the last 24, 25 years, whatever it is. I haven't set looked at the calendar. And Judy, we're appreciative of the fact that, and Julie, that you guys are there holding down the fort, and that Magda and Chuck are there as well next door. They're helping to hold the fort down to take it to the next level, and everybody that stepped in up to the plate in doing the Healthy, Happy Heartland project and taking that facility and helping to improve it and take it to the next level. By the way, if you'd like to support that, there is a link on the website. You can donate to that. But having that has opened space. Having that support has opened the space for us to start to look at another level. That's what opened Sweden. That's what opened Denmark. That's what's opened Costa Rica. And by the way, with the workshop we did do there, a couple of professional people who are talking about starting a support group who are really touched by, having done decades of work, were touched by the refinement of understanding how forgiveness actually works from the Aramaic. So it's grounded there. the work's going to continue to move there. It's interesting. There's a couple that own a large hotel and absolutely awesome restaurant there. You can go just about anywhere and buy some wonderful organic food. And, you know, we went to their restaurant. It was just fabulous. And it was interesting. She came to the Y workshop. She was very busy. They were getting ready to go out of town. And after the Y workshop, she was like, she shared with me, I knew I had to be there. I was too busy to go, but I knew I had to be there. And it was interesting. Over the next 2 days, our paths crossed. We left that town and went, you know, on our way. Our paths crossed five different times as we were traveling from there. And so we moved to had some conversations with her, and she shared with us how the work was impacting her, and I think she'll be part of supporting it happening up in that end of the country. But where this facility is in a whole different part of the country, and the Central Valley area, and it's kind of the gateway to the southern part of the country of Costa Rica. We didn't get to that part. That's as far as we got was the Central Valley. We started out up north and ended up going to the Central Valley. But what we're going to put out to the community, looking at this whole thing, and there are at least a dozen centers within a two-hour radius of this facility that we found, where there are yoga studios, there are alternative health centers that are busy and filled with people year-round from all over the globe, much like South Florida was. So there are people from Germany, from Russia, from France, from Norway, from Sweden, from Asia that come there for health treatment. Costa Rica is becoming a mecca for health tourism, which is in first world countries where so-called healthcare has become so insanely priced because, of course, you got to have three Mercedes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that people are going to third world countries where there's high-level healthcare and doing, you know, surgeries, things that they can't get done in their free healthcare countries, that sort of thing, or so-called free healthcare. So, but there are many alternative centers, yoga centers, teaching centers. Within just a couple of hours, they bring people from all over the globe, and I think that they're an open space for bringing first-century Aramaic forgiveness as an adjunct to everything that they're doing, and so would provide an opportunity, besides the possibility of creating a video studio and a teaching center there that is at least in part self-supporting with the food that it grows and would support us having food for the intensives and such, therefore the winter intensives, that we'd have a place to deliver the forgiveness process in a way that it touches more and more people around the globe without us having to go to every country and every place continuously in order to do it. So we're looking at the possibilities of putting that together and opening that gateway to southern Costa Rica and bringing forward the work of forgiveness on such a totally, completely new level and in some totally and completely new ways that we're just opening it to the community. Of course, it's not something we can do. We've been stretched to the max. In fact, as some of you might know, we had the conversation a few months ago about perhaps closing Heartland and letting it go because it was just with the number of projects globally that we had going, translations, book publishing, and taking the work, you know, forward, it was just getting to be too much, and that's what brought forward the 3HP program to support us in that regard. So we're just putting it out to the community, and if it's appropriate, I know it will happen, and if it's not, that's okay. We'll just keep doing what we're doing to take it to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. But in order to do it, what we're going to need, of course, is the funding. This is a 50-acre facility, has its own waterfall. As I say, it's a farm that produces enough greens to supply a whole area of the country. It's a very well-known place, and so we're looking at the possibility that if we can put the funding together to do that, it will just be a quantum leap forward for the whole planet. I talked yesterday about making an announcement, and so that's what I'm announcing right now, is that we are opening the space, if anybody would care to support. you know, look at the resources that you have. If this is something that's worth doing on the planet, you know, for 45 years with whatever resources we've had, everything we've had has been dedicated to how do we take the work to the next level and hand it to the next group of people without a requirement for money. And this is going to, if it falls together, open it on just a whole other level. And so if you're interested in participating in that, at this point we're projecting, and this is just a projection because we don't have any definitive figures, we're projecting that it's going to take about somewhere between $450,000 and $500,000 to buy this piece of property, create a studio, and start to work on that venue on another level. And, you know, it sounds like a lot of money, but in fact it's meager. It's zip compared to what has been, you know, wasted on the planet in games and, you know, going to the Coliseum and the insanity of our culture. And so if a person or a group of people are interested in supporting that moving to the next level, that's kind of the vision at this point. We need writers who understand the Spanish language very well so that we can do some very brightly written novellas that, of course, will show the drama and trauma relationship that the novella world is used to experiencing, but then is bright enough to start to sow, you know, the physicist who drops by and says, by the way, did you ever think about how this affects your relationship? And then, you know, the priest drops by and says, by the way, did you ever think about how actual forgiveness might work in your life? And, you know, the psychologist drops by and says, you know, have you ever thought about if instead of screaming at each other and telling each other how you did it to me, you were to use responsibility communication? By the way, did you know there's a thing called a worksheet to bring those ideas in? It's going to take some pretty bright writers who know the Spanish language well enough and write well enough to be able to create scripts. And then, of course, it's going to take the funding to build a studio. It's going to take the funding to buy the property, but the whole property is there turnkey, like ready to go into operation as a teaching center, you know, within a month. And so we're putting it out to the community and just saying, if you're up for that, we'd invite you to contact me, my cell number, and I'll ask you, please, I put the cell number out with the invitation to be in integrity with how you use it. I don't do one-on-one work. I don't do one-on-one questions. I just don't have the space with the number of plates that we're spinning, so I ask you to respect and honor my number and not just call it because you've got an issue going on. We are here an hour a day, 5 days a week, to be here to support you and answer your questions and bring your issues forward. That's what we want to do. But beyond that, this number isn't for that purpose. But if you can see yourself in some way supporting this project, then my cell number is 954-205-4996. I'd love to hear from you. And let's see what we can create. Let's see if the resources are out there within the community to assist us on taking it to the next level. And I think that, you know, perhaps the Hispanic world might be the key. The Hispanic world, fortunately, being Catholic, has the brain cells. And the rewiring by the actual first century words of Yeshua will, I think, go like wildfire throughout that community if we can do something like this television production. I have put feelers out to find out about what it takes to obtain a television license there, and it seems like that might be a possibility that we'd actually start broadcasting and then have something that we can then translate into other languages and syndicate throughout the world. So if you're interested in being part of that project, we'd invite you to give me a call. We are going to be, we're down to just a few seconds now, so we are going to be in Boca Raton, Florida at CSL. Flyers on our website, Sunday, morning service, 10:30, workshop 1 to 5, free, open. Why is this happening to me again? Look at our summer schedule at Heartland. We're going to be adjusting it a little bit from what it is right now, but if you want to take your work to the next level, look at that. That's another way to support us. Of course, our webpage and our donation button is there. If you'd like to do something for this project, then that would be something separate from the donation button there, and we'd love to hear from you, and we know that the best thing you can do for the planet is to create the best year yet of your eternal life, and we're here to support you in doing that. Thank you and blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.